May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
What will resurrection life be like? This is the fundamental question asked by this week's gospel, albeit through the lens of a pretty peculiar story about a woman who marries seven brothers, each one dying in succession, one by one. Have to wonder what was going on with that family, that all seven of them died one by one, leaving her childless. The question that the Sadducees asked Jesus is, what will happen to that woman in the resurrection? Whose wife will she be in the end? However, in his reply to them, Jesus does what Jesus is always doing and flips the question on its very head. As theologian and biblical commentator David Loos writes, the Sadducees' question is premised on the assumption that eternal life is an endless state of more of the same. But resurrection life, Jesus insists, is qualitatively different. Loos goes on to say, the ordinary events and relationships by which we track our journey through this mortal life, marriage, childbirth, graduations, retirements, and so on, do not characterize our eternal lives because resurrection is not merely an extension of this life, but something wholly different. I think that last line of David Loos bears repeating. Resurrection life is not merely an extension of this life, but something wholly different. It seems like, in part, Jesus is saying that we shouldn't get caught up in what resurrection means for our futures, but instead to take stock of what resurrection means here and now. I believe that he is not only saying that the resurrection life has a different quality, but that we get sweet tastes of that resurrection life right here in our midst if we can cultivate the attention to see it. What that means is that just as the future will be different, so too the present moment, if we are people of the resurrection, will be shaped by a sense of possibility and hope, and a deep and abiding knowledge of God's love that transcends time and place, and that breaks open in and through Christ. So my question for us to consider this morning is this: what does it mean to be resurrection people? To put a finer point on it, what does it mean to be people who follow a God of the living, as Jesus proclaims, and not of the dead? First of all, it seems like, unlike the Sadducees in this reading, we ought to be people who don't presume that we are in for more of the same, or people who find comfort in maintaining things just as they are. We ought, in fact, as resurrection people, we need to be people who see possibility where there might have been none before. When I think about what that means, I'm reminded of a young person who I worked with at the hospital. In my visits with him, I learned that he had been repeatedly hurt and let down by his parents as a young kid. In return, he had used violence against others as a way of coping with his hurt and with his anger. For months on end, he would toggle between our mental health facility and the juvenile detention center. He was often getting arrested. He felt a lot of guilt about how he had treated others in the past, and that guilt really weighed on him. So together with this young man, we created a rite of confession where he wrote down all of the things that were weighing him down, all of the things that he had done that he felt guilty about. He wrote it down on special paper that dissolves in water. He prayed for God to forgive him and restore him. And together, as part of our ritual, we read the Psalms together, and we specifically read ones that talk about how God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I think about this young man and this ritual that we did often, because when we did it, I could tell that somewhere within him, something was shifting. Some kind of wheels were turning. But I wanted to give him time to let this sink in. So when I checked back in with him, I asked him, "How are you making sense of all of this?" And what he said to me was pretty remarkable. What he said was that, and this is pretty much a quote, he said, "I guess what I'm learning is that God is a totally different kind of parents than the parents I have. God loves me in a totally different way." So as I said, I think about and talk about and reflect on this moment often, because I think this young man modeled exactly what it means to follow a God of the living. This young man models what it means to see possibility and to say yes. Even if just for that brief moment, he took hold of a new reality and he realized that his life in Christ is not defined by the family or the circumstances that he was born into or even the choices that he had made in the past. His life in Christ was about possibility. He saw that possibility and he said yes to it. I remember at the time thinking that this sort of realization was nothing short of a miracle for this kid. But it occurred to me, and it occurs to me now, that if our faith is grounded in the belief and in the reality that life after death is possible, why shouldn't moments like this be happening all the time? And as I said earlier, I think they are, if we look close enough, and if we show up to one another in relationship. I wonder if there is a moment from your own life that points in a similar direction, where your wheels were turning toward resurrection, or maybe you saw it happening in the life of someone else, and you noticed. So here's a little teaser for our upcoming book club. I was reading the book last week and I was struck by a quote from Brother David Stendhal Rast where he writes, "How often we say yes, but most of the time we say a conditional yes. Yes if or yes but. Most of the time there are strings attached to our yes. But now and again, we get carried away like kites in a great wind, and we say an unconditional yes. And at that moment, we realize that yes is the answer to every why. And suddenly, everything makes sense." So every week, together, we proclaim that on the third day, Christ rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. And in proclaiming these words, we are saying that this belief is fundamental to our lives and a central part of why we show up here week after week and call ourselves Christians at all. At times, I think we can tie ourselves into theological and intellectual knots about what really happened at the tomb and what we really believe at the end of the day about life after death being possible. But for the sake of today, what if we merely focus on saying an unconditional yes to Jesus? Yes to seeing and serving him in others, especially those who are hurt or abused, both in our neighborhoods and in our global community. What if we say yes to believing that the reality we experience now, with its myriad thorns and disappointments, is not all there is? What if we say yes to the idea that resurrection isn't merely some radical thing that happened in the past or will happen in the future, but something that radically alters our lives and beliefs in the present. In the coming days and weeks, we will have a lot of opportunities here to live as resurrection people, to see possibility and to say yes. While Jesus reminds us that our lives are not defined by such events as marriage, childbirth, or retirement, the truth is that these threshold events are often intersections in our lives that shape us deeply, where we can choose to see resurrective potential and where we can choose to say yes to it. So this, after the 10:30 service, I hope some of you will be able to join us for a conversation with the Reverend Bill Scrivener, who will be facilitating a discussion about just such life events, where we can see the possibility in them and how we can respond to them prayerfully. Among our other offerings, we are also going to be collecting signups today for our Advent prayer program, which I'm very excited about and which I'll talk about in a little bit during announcements. But just to give you a little snippet about that, the Advent prayer program will match you with someone else from the parish for the season of Advent and will give you an opportunity to listen deeply to one another's stories and to hear where the other person is seeing or feeling that resurrective potential in their life and in the world around them. I hope that the program will be a great opportunity to think and pray together about what it means to be resurrection people and to hear where you and where your prayer partner are showing up and saying yes. So with that as well, I hope you will consider participating. Through these things and through the many acts of worship and service that we are engaged in together, I think we are living in to what it means to follow a God who is of the living and not of the dead. So what does it mean to be people of the resurrection? That central miracle upon which our faith hinges. As I've said, and as I will repeat, I think it means that we see possibility and that we say yes. It means that our God, the God of our ancestors, and as Allison mentioned last week, the God of those not yet born, that God is the God who made dry bones spring to life. That is the God who raises from the dead. To see possibility and to say yes means that we believe that our God is a God who looks at us, messy and broken and beautiful as we are, and sees the possibility within us and says yes to us over and over again when we can't or won't say yes to ourselves. So in closing, what I would like to say to you this morning is to take heart, because our God is alive and our God lives in us. And that is a wonderful thing to say yes to. Won't you say yes? Amen.